Welcome back to Ready, Set, Geek, your starting line to geek culture. I'm Alex, your representative for the general population, and translator for these two sitting next to me.
I'm Cole, your deleted person.
So you... So do you know how I know you didn't follow directions?
Because we deleted you out of last week's script because you were dead.
If you copied and pasted.
Yeah, but then I was editing.
No, you copied and pasted from the last episode. You didn't copy and paste from the template like I told you guys in the email.
We deleted you.
I just now got the email because I finally turned on Cole like Geek Say What? Not Cole.
Do you see? We are trying to be professionals in front of Ben V. on Spielberg right now. This is definitely going in the outtakes. All right, start it over. Let's go.
I don't remember what I said.
It's I'm Cole, your personal geek color commentator. You've done over 200 episodes. How do you? Please tell me you're getting this, Anthony. Please tell me you're getting all of this.
I just
right
read
now.
The cards. I just whatever's on the cue card.
Do you always get this roasted behind the scenes?
Yes.
Literally every episode.
Anytime people like make comments like, "Oh wow, like clearly all this stuff." Or when we went to San Diego and people thought that I was in charge, I was just laughing inside, like, "Oh god, if only they knew."
If only they knew.
All right, that's.
You can't talk about me if I can't hear you.
Oh, you don't have headphones?
I don't have headphones.
Because
he doesn't want to do the hat on the headphones.
They just don't have anymore. It's totally fine.
We don't like you. All right. Should we start it over?
Let's try that again.
Your personal geek color commentator.
Yeah, your personal geek. That's how you sound. All right,
I got this.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That was too easy of a joke. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Ready when you guys are.
Are you starting the timer over? Okay.
No.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Geek, your starting line to geek culture. I'm Alex, your representative for the general population, and translator for these two sitting next to me.
Hi, I'm Cole, your...
And I'm JPG, pop culture. I really hope he just keeps all of this. I really just hope that he keeps all of this right now.
I can't.
We're usually way more professional, you guys. All right, one more time.
I'm just going to hop right in.
Okay.
So get ready.
Set.
Geek!
On our geek track today, we have Emily Schmemely and Justin Keyson, the hosts of Ben View on Spielberg. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm so sorry for the, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I really hope Anthony goes back and just, like, tries to cut that as much as
I hope,
like,
he keeps some of it.
Just some of it, at least.
I want all of it. I want everyone to feel shamed for Cole.
No, it's fine.
Thanks for sitting through our professionalism.
I thought that's... I've been listening to shows before. That's clearly how you start every episode. It sounds just like how I listen to them.
I clearly said personal geek color commentator. Like, you guys,
spotless. Yeah. Spotless. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Everything seemed fine on my end.
Everything is normal here. We're fine.
Please,
how are you?
Please tell us that you guys struggle with starting Ben V. on Spielberg as much as we did with Ready, Set, Geek.
We
tend to hit trouble later in the show.
No,
starting out, we're fine.
Starting the show is never the problem.
Once we hit minute 20 and we're 20. In that hot room and our brains start boiling in our skulls, that's when we run into issues.
Emily, I'm so happy that you brought this up too. I really wanted you to talk about this right now. How hot does your room get whenever you guys record?
Well, I don't have a temp. What's the word? Thermometer. I don't have one of those.
I have temperature.
I don't have temperature as a concept. But no, I mean, if it's like a hot summer's day, it gets up to like 100, and then we've got the room all sealed up, facing the sun, but with the windows shut. I mean, I'm gonna say we've hit 110 at a certain at a certain point. We must have.
I believe that.
Yeah,
I believe that. I think the Tintin episode might have been.
Oh, Tintin was a real boiler.
That was a boiler. No, for sure.
Yeah.
I just imagine Justin coming in and just like full speedo, just ready.
Yeah. You know?
Never gonna be a hot day today, guys.
It's like I just looked outside. Don't mind me, okay? It's like, no. Yeah, it's that, and that was something that only recently, like I, because like you, yeah, because your current place where you're living. That's why I'm like, oh, this is really warm.
Yeah, when I was in Long Beach, it wasn't so bad.
Right.
It's I was living in a garage then. I'm recording out of the garage.
Strangely, the garage wasn't nearly as hot.
Yeah.
Now, I know we're talking about the podcast, and I know in the name it's Benview on Spielberg, but can you tell our audience exactly what you guys do and a little bit about your show?
So we go through Steven Spielberg's filmography. We've actually finished doing his main filmography now as a director. And excuse me. The idea is Justin is a Spielberg fanatic. He is a huge fan of, you would say, most of Spielberg's career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little more.
You guys are so cute and polite.
Yeah, we just.
We're like, hey, shut up. I'm talking now.
Wait, can you not?
Emily is the apothesis.
That's the word we made up for the show. Technically, Tom Willett made up that word when he reviewed the show. But
and what does that mean?
It means that I'm sort of ambivalent on Spielberg as a whole. There's a couple movies that I really like, but then there's a couple others that I really hate. Famously, E.T. is not a movie that I care for.
I've had arguments.
Yeah. It's so sad. It's unnecessarily sad.
Thank you. Emotionally manipulative is what I called it.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Sounds like there's a real Ben Bjorn Spielberg dynamic in this room as well.
You, Alex, you don't like E.T.?
It's so sad. Like, it's heartbreaking. It's
he gets to go home to his family.
He has to leave the boy. Either way, you lose. You want him to go to his family. You want him to stay with the boy and be close. Either way, it's a lose-lose situation.
It's a movie that makes you feel bad for no real justification, I feel.
I'm just going to cut this right down the middle and just make sure that, you know, feel good about it because E.T. went on to serve in the Senate.
Well, that was a long time ago. That was
a galaxy far, far. Let me explain. Episode one. Is it episode one?
I think it's episode two. Yeah,
right, episode two.
The best prequel. And I'll have no more words on that.
I'm sorry. I just threw up in my mouth.
Oh, my God. There was like E.T.'s race made a cameo in episode two.
Yeah. Oh, cute.
Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what happened to the little boy?
He just, I mean...
Henry Thomas
grew
to be a
he's fine.
Henry Thomas grew to be a fine man. the show kind of started from a conversation me and Emily had. Casually, funny enough, when we first met, we had an argument about Close Encounters.
Yeah,
and I think one day I just thought, wouldn't it be fun if we just talked about that month to month?
Yeah,
and see if we can break down and gauge, and I can even reinterpret how I feel about Spielberg movies growing up, and I can catch up on Spielberg movies I've never even seen. And yeah, that's kind of how the show goes. Yeah, we'll watch a movie that I'll love or I've never seen, and I'm curious. And I'm always curious to know what she will think of the situation at the end of the day. You know. So. Yeah.
Okay. So what was like the biggest fight you guys ever had about your disagreement with a Spielberg film?
It's probably E.T.
I think it's either E.T. or Catch Me If You Can.
I
hate Catch Me If You Can so much. I think Frank Abagnale is just a kind of piece of trash who feels entitled to stuff he doesn't deserve. See, and the whole movie is about him getting away with stuff.
Have you read the book?
And being smug about it, and I hate him. I have not read
so
the book.
Because it's actually based on a true story. And
right, of course.
The book and the movie are so very similar that I watched the movie first.
Yeah.
And I thought reading the book would either ruin the movie for me or, you know, oh, this book didn't stand up. I was so impressed with how very close it like... Okay, I gotta take Justin's side on this
it
one.
Sounds like I wouldn't like the book either.
Sadly, yeah, I love that movie.
I hate it so much. It's such trash.
And you can find out more about our details on episodes of Benfield Spielberg. And yeah, no, so that was, yeah, you're right. E.T. and Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, and then The Terminal was our weirdest fight.
Yeah, because I don't like The Terminal.
That was the flip. I like The Terminal and he doesn't.
How do you not like The Terminal?
look, so everyone gets to have a shared opinion here. Look, right?
But The Terminal was so... it was like, it was so perfect in hitting issues on the nose without hitting issues on the nose.
I felt it hit it on the nose too much for me.
Oh, really?
And I think it was a little too saccharine sweet for my taste.
Oh, I love
it. I felt like I was drowning in sugar and honey while watching The Terminal.
Well, I mean, it was technically like crackers and ketchup, but...
These are very weird choices of like... I'm drowning in sugar and honey. Like,
yeah, we have never, in the hundreds of episodes we've ever done on the Geek Say What Network, we have never been as poetic as these two have been in like the last 2 minutes. Thanks, Cole.
I knew it was coming. That's why I started preemptively laughing. I was about to, you know, the funny thing is, I was about to say F off too, but I was like, probably should save that.
Oh, wait, this is Ready, Set, Geek. Not geek offensive.
Yeah.
Just edit it out. No one would know that you were angry anyway.
Anthony would know.
Anthony. Yeah. Anthony knows too much about me already.
Shout out to sound engineer Anthony. I'm really sorry about this episode.
Who, by the way, is wearing his headphones and then his Indiana Jones hat on top of it to go with the theme of our episode today, which is actually Indiana Jones.
A topic that I was super excited for, but now after the whole Spielberg discussion leading up into this moment, I'm now terrified that people, not everyone here, is excited about Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. So to make a distinction right now, this movie was actually first released as Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then later on it was actually renamed Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. This was because I think it was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was next.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Oh, and Justin, did you
I mean, the box sets have renamed the film Indiana Jones. Never actually the film itself. They never actually put Indiana Jones' name. Like, if you watch the
radio,
it is
on Hulu. It just says Indiana Jones.
Well, that's because it's the box set and it's like the cover art. But if you go on IMDb, it's just the titles.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, that's why in our notes I didn't write Indiana Jones. I just wrote Raiders.
Now, I mean, I don't know what the Blu-ray releases have or what's on Hulu, but on my DVD, it still is Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I've always been a little relieved about that.
Oh, and so. I do appreciate the other side of it, though, where it's the idea that they renamed it kind of like for the box sets because they wanted to keep it on branding.
Sure.
Right? It'd be weird to be like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
Like, that would be weird.
It's like Star Wars. Like, Star Wars was just called Star Wars, but then you can't go Star Wars Episode 5, Episode 6.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
That actually is always one of the things that made me laugh so hard. Mm-hmm. Star Wars! Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Oh, these are popular? Star Wars, A New Hope. Wait, what?
I don't know. Like, out of the two, I kind of like A New Hope better.
Oh, I like Star. I liked it better when it was Star Wars, Empire, and Return, because it's three distinct titles. But it's at the same time, I'm not going to argue either. Like, oh, no, they say Star Wars.
Yeah,
blah,
blah. It's one of those things where like, oh, that's changed. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, it's still the same film, kind of.
More or less.
Dang it, Lucas. Dang it.
So Indiana Jones, I'm just going to put out my history and then we'll kind of go around for a second. I've walked in the room with my father watching it. I've sat there for 5 minutes, maybe had dinner. I know the phrasing didn't sound great, but I'm going with it. Because my dad loves these movies, but I never stayed long enough to see the whole movie. I'm sure I've seen bits and pieces of each one. And of course, I've ridden the attraction many, many times. When it first opened, I was too short to ride Indiana Jones at Disneyland. And they gave me a weird AT&T card and a sticker or a button. And they're like, sorry, kid. But I've definitely, that's my history of it. So I finally watched it for the first time. The first time we tried to record this podcast, and then, of course, we got Orange County fired out.
Yeah, oh, there's a pesky fire. And But once again, guys, thank you so much for the patience.
For adjusting,
really
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. We're not monsters. We're not going to say, no, you must stay in the flames and to the show.
They recorded 110 degree heat, man.
I know, yeah. Now I feel like a wuss.
But it's, I remember opening the door. I sometimes work outdoors, and I'm opening the door, and I'm seeing ashes where I'm working, and I'm like, are we still recording?
Yeah, it was raining ash, and I texted JPG, and I was like, it's like raining ash, and the recording studio is actually just under the freeway of where the fire was.
Yeah.
So we kind of thought, maybe this is a bad idea.
So when I saw your guys' message, I went, that's fair. That's why immediately went, don't work, just go to safety.
And our poor sound engineer over there was actually evacuated. So thanks, Anthony, for being a trooper, because he was still willing to come in, which was the weirdest part.
I was evacuated, but I can, like, swing by the studio.
I can totally still record, guys. So shout out there. I did rewatch it today just to make sure I, like, my brain was on point, but that is the extent of my Indiana Jones experience, which is very small.
Oh, you want me to go next?
Well, okay. You're next to me, and you know, well, board game order just goes around.
I see. Well, I mean, I'm currently wearing an Indiana Jones costume right now.
He really is. He's not. So, he's not actually joking about
this. I kind of like it. No, so growing up, it was Star Wars and Indiana Jones. Those were the movies that I watched religiously. That and Silverado. Actually,
that's a good movie.
Interesting.
It is, but it's a weird combo of the three. But when I was a little kid, because I used to watch Indiana Jones all the time, I'd always wear my camera case across my chest, like Indiana Jones, because to me that's what it was. And the same attraction that Alex went on, the Indiana Jones one, I went on it, and it's very, like, one of the first years when it came out. I had the camera case.
I bet you were tall enough to go on.
I was.
I'm barely tall enough to go on it now, so.
I was tall enough when I was a kid. I was super excited. Oh, I probably should say this first. When I was a little kid, like with the VHS tapes, my parents bought me an Indiana Jones little kid hat. I wore it so much, I never took it off, and it actually lost its shape. It was just like this brown thing on top of my head.
It became a sun hat.
Yeah. Like, I refused to take it off.
I picture him going to the derby wearing it.
No, I wore it everywhere, apparently. I don't even remember this hat. It's a story that my mom tells me all the time. But anyway, fast forwarding to the attraction, we're in line, and I was so excited. I was talking to my dad. This is going to be the greatest day ever. And we're going through it, and then I see the sign, like, right before you go up the steps, where it says, just letting you know, this is a roller coaster, so if you're expecting, blah, 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 blah. Little Cole lost his stuff because I hated roller coasters, still do to this day. Was terrified, refused to open my eyes the entire attraction.
Oh, no.
And this is something that I'll never forget, because it's mostly because my dad was laughing so hard. What, you know when you go to the snake part and it slows down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I was little, I guess something happened where it either stopped or it was went so slow that it felt like we stopped. And I was like, Dad, is it over? He's like, yes. I'm like, you promise it's over? And he's like, yes, it's over. Open my eyes, the giant snake is like in my face going, and I was like, and I closed my eyes. I would not open them. There was sun on my face. I still would not open my eyes. My dad does not remember the story as well as I do, but he so was like, oh, I kind of remember that.
He wasn't traumatized. Yeah. That's why he doesn't remember.
To this day, every time that stupid snake gets close to me, I'm like, I still get a little like, nah.
Turn into little bait kid Cole again.
Yeah, like, oh, I remember you.
Emily, what about you?
And, you know, it's one of those movies where I don't remember the first time I saw it because it's just kind of always there. Like, I saw it when I was young.
It just exists in your life.
Yeah, it's like if you're a certain kind of nerd born after a certain date, you just receive. Like, you're.
It's just all like the three Indiana Joneses, like the full box set of X-Men.
Yeah.
Like it's just like that's like some sort of like basket. Like when you get like when you're born, like that's what is given to your parents.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Like,
so this child is going to be a geek. Here are the essentials.
Exactly. And then it was a source of frustration for many years because I loved Raiders of the Lost Ark, but my parents wouldn't let me watch Temple of Doom.
Wait, what?
Why?
Because it was like too grown up. Like they wouldn't let me watch it.
Yeah.
And I've told this story on our podcast, but it was sixth grade when I finally got a chance to watch it. We were on the bus to sixth grade camp, and we somehow had like the school had rented these like rich kid buses where they had monitors on them, and we were either going to watch Temple of Doom or The Princess Bride. And because I was like an obnoxious loud kid, I took control. I was like, "We're watching Temple of Doom, everyone, right? Like this is my chance, finally." And everyone was like, "Yeah, whatever. We don't
care." Nobody cares.
It's an old movie.
They're either gonna sleep or make out in the back of the bus.
Sure, yeah. Until Chris Meese opened up his mouth and he was like, "No, guys, Princess Bride's really amazing. We need to watch that movie." And one by one, convinced everyone to watch Princess Bride.
Wait, who?
Chris Meese. This is the person that I went to school with.
I was like, no,
but this is the bad guy in the story. Yeah, yeah. Attention, Cole.
Stupid Chris Meese.
Obviously, yeah. Screw that guy.
Right?
Clearly, you're Belloc in this situation.
Exactly. So we watched The Princess Bride, didn't have time for Temple of Doom. A week later, though, we're coming home from camp, and it's like, all right, we watched Princess Bride on the way here. We're going to watch Temple of Doom, right? But I'm on the back of a bus going down a mountain, and I'm prone to car sickness in a good situation.
Oh, no.
Aww. So the first time I saw Temple of Doom, my face was just on the side of a bus. I threw up 7 times on the way home.
And Chris Meese was laughing the entire time,
yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Please tell me you at least threw up on him.
No.
Oh.
All in the toilet, because I was a good little puker. I always got it in the toilet.
You're lucky, Chris. You're very lucky.
Yeah. He's out there somewhere. I'll get him one day.
He'll just show up dressed like the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Sure.
And then he'll be like, wait, are you?
Are you?
Should have watched Temple of Doom.
I'm just really happy that we get to talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark and work through like our childhood bullies.
Yeah.
So, Ready Set Geek is providing so many services right now. So.
Yeah.
Okay, my turn. Okay.
Yeah, that's the head. Sorry. We're used to little, like, head nods and points over here.
We have, like, hand signals. Sorry, Justin.
No worries. No worries. I caught up.
Just don't steal second. That's all I ask.
Fair. I actually, in the reverse of Emily's story, I saw Temple first.
Oh.
Like, well, chronologically, you're correct.
Yeah, chronologically correct. I didn't know that back then, though.
Yeah.
Like, so it was just, that was, like, a cable. I just caught it on cable, like, every time. And, like, I loved it. And one day, my brother, who is the basket that Emily just described, or the hand, it was like, he was the physical person of that. He's the one who introduced me to Star Wars and Back to the Future and like Casablanca, Singing in the Rain, a bunch of stuff. And so he saw me watching Temple, and he's like, you know, there's like another one, right? Like two other ones. And I like looked and went, there's more? It's like, yeah, well, this is technically the second one. There's the first one. There's one before this.
I just feel like the clouds.
Yeah.
Up.
He's like, yeah, Dad bought like 2 VHS copies for some reason. There were 2 copies of Raiders in our household.
Wait, I didn't know this detail. They were in your house and you hadn't seen them?
Yeah.
I didn't know
this.
Was
it like hidden in the grown-up movie section?
No grown-up movie section.
Was there,
as
like,
I'm aware.
It was on a weight and you had to take a bag of sand.
That would have been amazing. Oh, that'd be cool.
I was going to try to do that joke and you beat me.
I'm sorry.
We were recording podcasts for 2 years, I figured. He was in this cabinet and like he just opened it up and yeah, no joke, my dad did buy 2 copies of it. I think he forgot he bought it and he bought it again.
Oh, that's gonna be a good movie. I should buy it again.
Yeah. And oh no, actually, hilarious enough, this is technically there's 3 copies technically of Raiders in the house because he bought it twice and then he taped it off of HBO.
Why?
So there were.
I don't think I own this
because it's HBO. There might be good bits.
I feel like it was one of those. I know there's 3 movies. I can't remember which one we have. I'll just get this one in case.
I guess I kept thinking, oh, he's like, this is my imagining my dad. I like, you know, the store was like, oh, that's a good movie. I'll buy it. Yeah. Ah, I already got this. Oh, you know what? I really like Peter's. Cool. I got it. I already bought this.
Anthony, technically, you do have to cut that because Justin actually just cursed in Tagalog.
I did. I had it put into context.
I really appreciate that. I appreciate that. I think you're the first person on the Geek Say What Network to curse in a different language. So
proud of that. That's cool. Anyway, so my brother didn't finally have me watch it, and I just couldn't believe how like okay, this is just as good. This is just as good as Temple.
What happened when you watched Last Crusade?
I liked it back then.
What?
Meaning you don't like it now, or
I like it now, just not as much as other.
Emily's
folks.
Face is like we've had this conversation.
I mean, I agree with them. Like, it's not a face of we've had this fight before. It's yes, we've talked and we both agree.
Yeah,
it's Raiders light.
What? Are you okay, Cole?
No,
you've lost words, which is rare.
Cole, can I be? I don't hate it. That's not.
I don't hate it either.
Screw Crusade. No, I didn't say that.
It's like we're watching Raiders, but not quite as good. And then they try to make up for that with a little Sean Connery, but it's not.
Which I love. Who? Yeah. Look, Sean Connery's
amazing. What's your order? What is your order then for Indiana Jones?
Kind of order of release.
You Temple of Doom over Last Crusade?
Oh, yeah. For sure. I put Temple of Doom over Raiders on some days.
But
But okay.
So before we have this fight, JPG, what was your Indiana Jones history?
I was hoping that Cole would take like some sort of like flack off of me right now, because this is not going to be a pleasant conversation.
Wait, what?
I love Raiders. And I love the entire series. Well, most of the series. But
we're just all pretending the fourth one doesn't exist.
Okay. So I love the entire series. And so here's the thing, though. I have a very weird relationship with the Indiana Jones series because of Temple of Doom.
Hmm.
Now, when you're younger, and it's amazing, you get the character a short round, right? And this is something that we joke about all the time, like on the podcast. And even Justin was talking about, oh, I should have brought my short round out today. Here's the thing, okay? When I was little, it was amazing. I finally got to see an Asian kid, and he could drive a car, and he was Indiana Jones' sidekick, and he was kind of awesome. And then he fought another child, and I'm pretty sure he died too.
He definitely burned that child alive.
Wait, dies?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
Short round commits a murder.
That's fine. Yeah. I need to know now that a character I attach to is not going to die.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We talk about representation a lot on the show, right? You get like 3 Asian characters in the 80s. And the thing is when you grow up in our time frame, you're called one of those 3 Asian characters the entire time.
Yeah.
So now it went from this point of pride when I was a kid to when I got a little bit older and then a teenager, like, no, that's a racial slur at this point.
Yeah.
If somebody ever called me short round at 30, they would get choked in the middle of wherever we are at right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the thing though. Like, and it so it went to something. It went from something that I absolutely loved to something that is like seriously kind of like racially oppressive. And Cole, I appreciate you giving me all of your attention right now. But okay, so like other Asian characters in the '80s, right? You got
it was 16 Candles.
Thank you, Long Duck Dong.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
I didn't see that until actually a couple years ago for the very first time. And
right.
I suddenly understood almost all of the Family Guy jokes after just watching 16 Candles once.
Right.
But it just, although I love Short Round as a character personally, I understand socially and culturally, like I can't.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question though, because this is something we talk about and I'm going to be very careful here, so
all
I
right,
apologize.
Let's do
I'm
it.
Doing my best on phrasing.
At least we're married, so nobody can call you a racist. Like,
just really good undercover.
You blew my secret. Is this where we go back to, though, some representation, any form of representation is better than none? Because we've also talked about the fact that, oh, they always somehow know how to fight.
And then
you would bring that up. So I'm just asking if that's the same kind of rule here.
And this is why I'm still kind of okay with the movie personally. I understand culturally or socially, if you don't agree with me, you don't agree with me. Like, that's it. Like, that's fine. But it's also, it's all from personal experience, you know? Like,
yeah.
And it's the idea, though, that you're right. Like, any sort of representation is representation. And when I was a child, I really cherished that. Now I see that it's problematic, I guess. And, like, I hate using that word also, but it is. It like, nowadays, it is problematic.
Well, I have a question. Oh.
No, go ahead. You're too late. Go for it. You committed. I was going to toss it over to Justin because he was, like, hopping in there.
Oh, no, fine. Go for it, Justin. He is the
The only other Asian person in the room.
I had a relevant question. That's fine.
Excuse me, Justin. A white man needs to talk.
Now, see, here's the thing.
Oh, my God. You can't actually talk after that joke. No.
Yes, I can.
You can't.
Because here's the
I'm
here's
sorry,
the
Justin. I did not think he was going to actually talk after I said that.
Here, oh, I'm cursing now. Here's because I'm 50-50 mixed. I am
sorry,
you can choose if I'm white or if I'm Arab.
No,
I can never just be.
You Ben Affleck.
No,
in this scenario,
I have so,
you
I'm
Ben Affleck.
Until he has a beard.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
way.
it's the shaggy hair and the beard. Wait, that's
yeah,
when Ken
go.
Goes, ooh, wait, no, he's ethnic. No, but okay.
I am sorry for doing that.
Oh, no.
I don't care.
No.
I don't care if you think I
Emily,
am genuinely sorry. Okay.
Emily, out of hundreds of episodes, nobody is allowed to say they're sorry to Cole, ever.
I'm sorry to you.
These are the rules of our show.
I would like to apologize to you for
Thank
apologizing
you.
To Cole.
Emily, you could come back anytime.
Do you even remember what you're going to say, Justin?
I'm still keeping. I can still keep track of what I was going to point out. Because here's the thing. It's interesting. No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and that's a thing where I never had any negative connotation growing up with Short Round. Mm. Though I did have plenty of negative connotation with 16 Candles. Mm. And while no one's ever called me Short Round, I was like, that's my experience, though. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I've gotten lucky that I never took him in a negative. Though I acknowledge there are negative things about the character. He's got a heavy accent, and like, there's an element of a stereotype within the character. And so I definitely understand. Completely understand. But oh, yeah. But I guess for me, it's like I kind of embraced him more and more because of the lack of.
Oh, no. When I was a child, I definitely embraced him. Yeah. And then as I grew up, it was just that feeling of like, there are like two Asian people on screen.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to get called Bruce Lee because that's awesome. Right?
Because that's a compliment. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm going to take this one more question here. But I'm going to say her name wrong. But she's from Modern Family. The really hot wife.
Oh, Sofia Vergara.
Vergara, thank you.
Yeah.
Now, that's her actual accent.
Yes.
As far as I can tell from interviews, that she's not laying it on. That is just her accent. So where is that line of like, well, they had a heavy accent in the movie, but that's their accent, so we should respect it and be excited that they're letting that or having that on screen?
I'll give my two cents on that. Is that if the dialogue is written to enhance the accent as part of the joke, then it's a problem sometimes. Okay. And it's like, and yeah, the thing that the kid who played, the actor played, Short Round, he also played Data in
Goonies.
In Goonies. Mm,
yeah.
And he had an accent there too. And
that's just his voice.
That's just his voice, yeah. And it's like, there's an element of like, how much do we write the dialogue so that the joke is part of, the accent's part of the joke?
Yeah, the accent isn't the problem.
Yeah.
It's the words that come with the accent.
Okay. Right.
And that's in the hands of, I mean, for lack of a better term, and I don't know if I'm correct on this one or not, but white writers.
No, you're right on that one.
Okay.
Usually people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Jews. Yeah.
See, I don't watch Temple of Doom often. My go-to is Last Crusade, then Raiders. So I don't think I've watched Temple of Doom in 5 years easily. Does Short Round have racist lines?
So I haven't seen that movie either. So I guess I have the same question as Cole.
So there's this idea in literature and in media. It's called the other, right? It's usually kind of put onto a foil character, and if you're not familiar with a foil character, it's usually the character that is kind of like right next to the main character at all times.
The best friend.
Yeah, the best friend. That's a good way to put it. So okay. Like Ron Weasley would be a foil character to Harry.
Okay.
And a foil character is used in order to kind of highlight the main character themselves. Now, the concept of the other is you show that the foil character is so weird that you can't help but to connect with the main character because you perceive yourself as the main character now.
Oh.
So now you're using a culture, like an entire culture, in order to be like, this one white guy is awesome. And
is that why people get so upset? Because I know a lot of times the best friend or the quote-unquote sidekick is Asian, especially nowadays.
Or is just ethnic in general,
yes.
Or a woman. And it's used
for the white man.
Yeah, for the white man.
See, like, when I was a kid, I didn't feel that way. If anything, it was when I was watching it, I saw a Short Round, and I was like, okay, so any kid could go with Indiana Jones. And that's how I took it. I didn't think of it as, but bear in mind, like I said, child. I was a kid.
And here's the thing, that still works in that regard. And I'm sure he was even designed for that function. But, you know, for like me and Jason, I can kind of tell, like, yeah, we had another element to identify with.
Mm-hmm.
But as you grow up and you kind of start looking at the rest of the media that is surrounding things like it, it's not enough to equalize it that there are other options besides the heavily accented kid from another country.
Right.
You know, and so that's kind of where it's could be problematic in discussion, you know. And I still, I still love the character to this day. And I even dressed up as him a couple years ago. So, I mean, like, grown 30-year-old wearing, like, you know,
I had a question for both of you guys. There's many talks that they're going to reboot Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was that one year when we thought it was going to be the other kid from Transformers. And how would you guys feel if Short Round took over as Indiana?
We've had this exact conversation on our show.
No, I want to hear this.
Well, I'll let Justin take it.
I'll definitely watch that movie.
Because to me, that's the
I would
that makes
lose
sense.
My mind. Yeah. I'd lose my mind.
Yeah, I think that would be an amazing idea. Absolutely amazing idea.
Something that Justin and I constantly talk about is Power Rangers off air. And when there was a Filipino Power Ranger, I lost my mind. Even though it was the Pink Ranger, I was like, oh my God, we're there right now. You know, so like I feel like it would give me the same exact feeling.
Because I've already kind of casted him in my head. Glenn from Walking Dead.
You know, it's funny because he got practice with that hat. So.
I know. That's what I mean. Like, it went to me. Like, if you have Short Round grow up, he doesn't even have to know karate because the kid didn't know karate. Like, he kicked, but
Indiana
that was,
Jones didn't. Punched dudes.
No, but I mean, like, or shot them if it was too hard.
That way, we don't have to have the stereotypical like, hey, Asian knows karate, right? Yeah. No, you could have Glenn, a character that already corporate America loves because when he got killed. Spoiler, by the
Spoilers.
Way, for Walking Dead, people quit watching because we fell in love with Glenn. Let that man be Indiana Jones.
No, and
just be like Short Round. He's like, quit calling me. Like, you didn't even have that reference. Like, quit calling me Short Round.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now tall. Indiana Jones. Oh, yeah, I'm tall. Yeah. Tall round. No.
And that'll be
tall and thin.
That'll be great because a big question that a lot of us ask is, what happened? Especially if this was before Raiders. So clearly.
Yeah, it's the year before Raiders.
So what happened between Temple and Raiders that he no longer has Short Round?
I mean.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
No, go for it.
I mean, Indy's kind of, I would say, not the best dad, which he was sort of in a weird way acting as a father figure Short Round.
No, sure.
I don't think it's that hard to believe that he just left him somewhere in some city. That's kind of dark, but like realistically, like that's what happened, right? Like, Indy just ditched him in some city somewhere.
Just left him in India and just walked away.
Oh God, that's right? That makes me so sad.
But that's exactly what happened. So that's why when we start the reboot, it's Short Round has grown up. He murders Indiana Jones. No.
Whoa!
No, justifiably.
Whoa!
Justifiably. Okay. And then he says, I'm Indiana Jones now.
Named after the dog.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go into the movie that we're supposed to be talking about.
It's been half an hour and we haven't talked about it yet.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start it off with the fighting style because we were just talking about that a little bit ago. So let's focus on that for just a second. Indiana Jones' fighting style versus his whip action versus the gun.
Mm-hmm. You made that sound way sexier than it should have been. Like, and his whip action. Like, why did he
whip action?
It sounded like the best game of rock, paper, scissors. Gun, whip, or punching noises.
What beats what?
Yeah. What? I don't even know.
So in the beginning, we kind of start with the whip action. I like it now. I'm attached.
Whips are inherently sexy.
Wait.
Oh, God. I feel like this is hitting you all at the same time right now, Cole.
It's hitting me right now.
For me, I love that in the 80s, we were able to still have that pulpy sort of feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because for... we've talked about this multiple times on the show, but I'm a huge fight fan, like UFC, Bellator, like boxing. I love fighting in general. But it's also the idea that since I love fighting, there are certain things that are just so cheesy and awful to me. Like, there aren't that many people going down in one punch. Yeah. And you can't just throw a haymaker literally every time. But that's all Indiana Jones does.
Yeah.
And it's great. And like, you never get the sense that he was like formally trained. He's like, no, like, oh, whatever. I figured this out as I went, and just punches a dude in the mouth. And then he dies for some reason. Like, because when you get knocked out in a fight, it's like a second or two. Anything after that, you're dead. That's it. You're literally dead. Your brain stops and everything, right? So it was just something that, like, I try to have that suspension of disbelief, but I can't.
Mine was when he was slamming the guy's head into the car over and over and then still punch him and then still throw him out of the car. Yeah. And he was still awake and aware until the car ran him over.
No, like third hit, that guy died. That guy for real died.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. No, when I was a kid, I totally thought that's how you're supposed to fight. I had no idea that there was, like, defense or any of that. It was haymaker, and then you just punch until you got the one knockout punch.
Yeah.
And the opposite of that is when Marion fights also. Like, I thought that she was so inherently tough without really having to throw a punch. Mm. You know,
she's the original Rapunzel, fighting with the frying pan. Thank you.
I just like that she stood on her own. Like, yes, there were times where she needed help. Everybody does. Indiana Jones did, too. But there was never this constant damsel in distress. You know, if she was on her own, she was figuring it out and trying to drink or con or fight her way out of,
exactly.
You know, and I love that it wasn't just, oh, no, I'm trapped again. Oh, no, help me again. Yeah. You know, she fought. She was in it.
That bar scene. I think they're in Nepal at the time. And she's just out drinking that guy at the table. It was like a revelation to me as a kid, you know? Because when
you Did you know what they were doing?
Well, yeah, because, you know, family life. Thanks, Alex.
I had the same family life.
All right.
All right. We all got the reference as children. Yay!
But it was the idea that when you're a kid, and I watched this when I was like 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever, it's this idea that, like, oh, girls are icky. And then you see this and you're like, no, girls are cool. Like, this is a revelation at this point.
For me, she just went hand in hand with Princess Leia. It was just strong women who don't need help, which is also why Temple of Doom bugs me so much.
Yeah, that's why Temple of Doom is only better than Raiders on some days to me, because on other days that bothers me too much and I can't get past it.
What was her name?
Willie.
Willie.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, we know her.
And you've never seen it,
I have
right?
not. I only watched the first one.
Ooh, you loved Marion, you will hate Willie.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Even Indiana Jones hates Willie.
Yeah, kind of. Like, he's like, oh, well, you're the only white woman around, so I guess I'll kiss you.
I guess I'm in love with you today.
I don't. Love is a strong word in their relationship.
Yeah, like,
relationship's a strong word for. She was the first time I think that they actually had the hero have a booty call.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
It was just the date that wouldn't end.
Yeah. Yeah,
that means he's not with Marion anymore.
Again, though, this is a prequel.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Okay.
But also, you haven't seen 4 either, have you?
No, she hasn't seen 4. Okay, Marion comes back in 4, which is what we all got excited about.
And we find out that he did ditch Marion, like, right after.
No, again, because he broke her heart. That was, like, the clear storyline is broke the heart, and then the dad also cut him off.
Was he partners with the dad, or was he like an intern for the dad? I don't remember.
They were partners, weren't they?
I think so.
Yeah. But I think he was also learning
at the same time.
And archaeology and punching.
Sorry.
So I wanted to put this out there just because this is something that always matters to me. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys did a podcast on this yourselves, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, like, unfortunately, I didn't get to listen to it as of yet, but I want to know what your favorite part of the movie was. Like, what was your favorite part? Like, what?
Ooh.
In Raiders?
Yeah, in Raiders.
Mine would be that bar scene.
Okay. Did that just, like, speak to you, or, like...
Yeah, it was so
Please
good.
Tell me you can do that. Like, you pick somebody in a bar, and you're like, I'm gonna drink you under the table, Indiana Jones style.
No, I'm a lightweight. I absolutely would not be able to do that. But yeah, no, I mean, that scene is also weirdly frustrating to me, because that scene sets Marion up as, like, such a cool, like, strong, tough character. Mm-hmm. And then she does kind of, unfortunately, not in all the scenes, but in some scenes, fall into kind of a damsel in distress.
Yeah, it's that back and forth in the movie, right? Yeah.
And I was thinking about this on the drive over here, actually. It's this thing where, like, the way it sets her up and the way she behaves, like, Marion is just as, like, competent a character as Indiana Jones is. It's just she doesn't have protagonist armor on. Like, she doesn't have the benefit of being the lead of the movie. And so she gets trapped into more realistic obstacles than Indiana Jones does.
I love protagonist armor. That is great.
Can we use that now?
That's not mine. That's, like, an internet thing.
That's an internet
really?
thing?
Yeah.
The best Miriam moment to basically put what you just said on a pedestal is when she's about to get rescued and he's like, oh wait, they'll know I'm here if you disappear.
Yeah.
All right. And he's like, what? What are you doing? You should have.
Yeah, she should have left him.
Yeah, she really should have.
Alex lost her mind when that happened because I was watching it with her and I, for some reason, I forgot that scene.
Yeah.
And Alex was just like, no, I would have killed you if I would have gotten
out. She should have thrown a snake at him.
Just right? Yeah. I remember that one time. Justin, what about you?
I'm still a sucker for the opening.
Oh, it's one of the best openings ever.
Because it sets everything up perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's a mini movie. The whole opening is set up to literally be just a teeny tiny movie. If there was no movie after that, it's still going to be considered one of the great action movies of all time.
I mean, the opening is pretty much the attraction, so it kind of is.
Yeah.
But the big reveal with the whole, like, head turn, like, you never see his face until after the whip.
I love that. Yeah.
And then just the move forward, like, oh, so good.
It's perfect. It's a perfect opening. Yeah.
Do you know what really bothered me, though?
Mm.
So he had the guy in the plane.
Yeah.
Right?
Jock.
Whatever happened to that dude?
Eh.
Right?
He's fishing somewhere?
Just like Short Round. Just like, oh, gosh.
Okay, but he was only like 2 seconds.
Yeah. I know. It was just weird that, like,
he's a freelancer.
Like,
he has a pet snake.
That's what did it.
I feel like Jock's just that guy. He's indie calls, like, hey, I'm in the area. Could you do a job for me? And he's like, yeah, all right. They're not like closed friends.
Oh, they're just like work acquaintances?
Yeah, I think it's work acquaintances. Aww.
Maybe Indy fired him because of the pet snake.
Yeah.
You know, that's highly possible after that scenario.
Well, that was one of my favorite moments in that opening, though, is like you have this awesome guy. He literally is super smart. He's defeating everyone. But a little snake in the little plane.
Yes.
And he's screaming.
It shows that he has there is a normal side to him somewhere underneath all that.
Bravado.
Bravado. Yeah. And, you know, protagonist armor. And
protagonist
I feel
armor.
Like that's the original Snakes on a Plane.
Oh,
like, somebody watched that and that's where that movie came
good
from.
Good God. Really? That was the reference you're going with?
Oh, this, God, but a whole movie.
Snake. Snake.
It's like Raiders.
No, I really appreciate that, Emily, you're actually acting this out. Yeah. Like, it was just like executives just getting real drunk.
Yeah, because that's how long it would have taken them. It wouldn't have been like a lightning bolt. It would have been like, snake, hold on. Snakes?
There's something here.
Well, I feel like we got two good things going.
Yeah. They both have A's in them. That's kind of fun to say.
Okay. So after all of that action, like, my favorite scene comes up. Because he's a freaking professor.
Yeah. Of course.
And all of the girls love him, and all the guys think he's so cool.
I love you
the
eyes.
The eyes, yes, the I love you eyes, when she's blinking slowly.
And he's like wearing glasses, and he does all the drawings on the chalkboard, and he knows everything about the Ark of the Covenant when those G-men come in. Like, I was like, oh, wait. I get a whip and a gun, and I get to be smart too? Like, That was insane to me. Like, this guy was a teacher. Okay, so that was mine.
Mine,
Alex?
Was the fighting scene with the... Okay, so the guy comes out. They're trying to get the plane after the Nazis already have the Ark. And the big guy comes out. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I said was, oh, he's bald. He's going to be buff. Because for some reason, that's always the thing. If they're the really, really big buff guys, they're bald. And the way he walks over to the plane and Indy's just like... Hang on. Like, give me a moment. And I just love that it's like this realistic, like, son of a biscuit. Like, okay, let's go. And then he fights the way I would fight, which is my favorite thing.
Just dirty.
Dude, he throws sand. He bites the guy in the arm.
Because there's no other way of winning that fight.
Yeah. I'm hoping I'm referencing the correct fight scene, but my favorite indie thing ever is just, he's getting ready, his fists up, just kind of, and he just looks down at the ground. It's like, hey, what's that? What is that? And the other guy's like, what? Yeah. And then just,
yes!
It's like that, over any whip scene, that's my favorite thing Indy has ever done.
And he kicks the guy in the nuts, too. It was like, completely just like.
Well, like, I love, though, that the bad guy was so sporting about it. He was like, oh, you need a sec? Yeah, okay, I got you. Like, you hit how many guys with a haymaker?
Yeah.
Like 47? Oh, my God. Yeah, take your time. Like, do you want some water?
Yeah.
even at the end when he was like, it's over, he's still like, come on, get up. And it's like, dude, do you not hear the plane turning behind you?
He's sporting. I
and
appreciate
he just had
it.
The biggest grin, though, in that moment. Yeah. He's just like, this is big smile. And I don't even think the smile was like, ah, you got. I think the smile was, I don't have to do this anymore. Relief.
That was it was a nice moment of distinction too, when like Indiana Jones, the original idea was we're going to do American James Bond. And so that's like a good point by point comparison. If you look at like when Bond fights Jaws and Spy Who Loved Me, which was like 5 years before this, mm-hmm. he fights very honorably about the whole thing. It's like small James Bond versus this big tall guy punching, waiting for just some small advantage. And then you see how Indiana Jones, the American version, handles it.
Just so salty. Just,
yeah, so salty, dirty. He doesn't even kill him at the end. He lets the plane kill him. It's like a nice little thing that they kind of made the series its own.
Huh. Yeah. Now, for Indiana, okay, so it's pretty obvious that we all pretty much enjoyed Raiders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, hold on. That's my favorite Spielberg film.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So my follow-up question to this is, what compares to Indiana Jones now? That sort of action feel and all that? Like, what really... What would you compare that to in modern times, I guess, now? Because admittedly, we are over 30 years away from this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what gives you that same feeling, that same...
was to say Indiana Jones?
That's not how you answer questions, Cole.
I mean, this was a few years ago at this point, but we talked about in our Tintin episode how that's a modern film that really captured that kind of energy. And it was also Spielberg, so that makes sense.
What is it with Spielberg and just, like, Nazis?
Well,
I mean, there's an obvious answer here.
There's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
No, I didn't...
Yeah. Buddy.
There it is. You just figured it out. Yeah.
No, yeah. I just meant that, like, not Nazis in general, but, like, that time frame. Like, yeah. Like,
Well, he is a real world war.
Is that what it feels like?
Yeah.
So, no, it was the idea that, like, you very much, like, romanticize this time frame.
He loves
this
time period. That's something we've talked a lot about on the show. And it's, like, it pops up more than 36 occasions. And, like, it's a thing that he loves the aesthetic. He loves the design of everything. And his movies, I think it's also because he watched a lot of movies set in 1930s and 40s. Mm. So those are a lot of inspirations for him. He's really enamored with that time period.
Doesn't he do, or didn't he do, a lot of the interviews for Survivors as well? Wasn't that him?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
You stumped the Spielberg.
Super wrong.
You stumped the Spielberg podcast on that one.
Was he behind Band of Brothers also with Tom Hanks?
He produced it, yeah.
Oh, God. I watch it once a year and it's incredible. I literally just finished watching it again like a couple days ago. Oh, wow.
And he tried to get me to dress up as that for Halloween.
Which
what
one?
Do you mean?
Band of Brothers?
What?
Isn't that what you're talking about?
The entire Band of Brothers?
What did you want to dress up as? But then I said no because I had never seen it.
Well,
started with a B.
I have no idea.
I'm really curious
about.
Really? What this was.
Yeah. Definitely not Band of Brothers. It's a World War II.
Was this for...
No, Cole. Don't be gross. Stop being gross. Okay. Last question for me. I'm sorry, Alex. Did you wanna go for it. Okay. What would be... If you needed to make an Indiana Jones movie, mm-hmm. what would be your perfect Indiana Jones film? And I want to put this out to everybody at this point. Like, what would you add in a perfect Indiana Jones film?
I would just rewatch the one I watched. I don't know what you're talking about.
You would just re-release Raiders.
No, I was mad that the monkey died, remember?
Oh, God.
I also wish the monkey didn't die.
Ha!
Actually, I laugh every time when the monkey does the Hail Hitler.
Yeah.
The Nazi goes, oh, hey, wait, what?
No, my part was, no, it's not Salan. What is it?
Sala.
Okay. It's when he makes the joke after the monkey dies and he catches it before it goes into Indian.
Bad dates.
Yeah. Like, really, bro? A monkey just died.
Your monkey just died.
You want to talk about misunderstanding a film? When I was a kid, I had no idea what a date was. So when he's like, it's a date. Because he's talking about the food for Miriam.
Yeah.
I thought he was explaining the monkey left because he was going on a date.
So when the monkey died, it was a bad day.
That is a bad day for the monkey.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, I was like, oh, that's clever. Like, I was a little kid. I was like, oh. So as I got older, I was like there, I don't even remember what day it was, but it was just like this random moment. I was like, oh, he's talking about the food. It just changed the whole,
film.
See, that's interesting because I also didn't know what a date was, but I made no effort to come up with an alternate explanation. Well, I was just like, bad date. Don't know what it means.
My brain went, oh, a monkey's going on a date. Yeah. Cool beans.
Yeah. Okay, I have to bring this scene up because I just remembered it. Speaking of your twisted childhood, which you can explain in a second. But the guy who tortures everybody, the bad evil guy with the black jacket. Mm. I have no names. You guys got to help me on that. When he goes to torture her after she got the French guy drunk, I'm really bad.
Belloc.
Thank you. And he pulls out the thing and they all panic and then he turns it into a hanger.
Yeah.
That is incredible. That is one of the best moments.
Oh, God. She grabbed my hand like when this was happening and I was like, this is the best. I wish I was recording this right now. And it's a hanger. And she was like, what? You wasted all this time on that?
So good. God, so well done.
That scene never gets old. That gag never gets old.
That or when Indiana Jones shoots a sword fighter.
Oh, no.
It never gets old.
It's like legendary, that bit. Yeah.
Which was because he was sick.
He was sick. The entire cast was sick except Spielberg at the time because he brought Vienna sausages to eat or something. Or
I didn't know about that detail.
Yeah,
I've heard this before.
Yeah, Spielberg brought, it was like some sort of canned meat or something, but it was canned and he brought it from the U.S., right? So that was the only thing he ate, and then the rest of the cast and crew ate food from the region.
Mm-hmm. God, I love Spam. I cannot imagine eating only Spam for the length of a movie shoot.
Emily, you're talking to two Filipinos at the table right now.
I can eat a lot of Spam.
I can eat a lot. It's one of my favorite foods, but every meal?
I do have the answer, by the way.
Wait. Do we have rice?
That's the thing. Spam and rice I can maybe do.
I mean, literally, just
spam.
You got me then, Emily.
Okay, I can't just eat only spam. Fair enough.
I think I could eat spam and rice, though, because that is like the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
Have you ever had spam?
No.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Oh, and Alex, when did you have spam?
Like 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
That was me as well, like 2 years ago.
It doesn't sound appealing.
It's so good. I had this weird thought process to it that it was kind of like hot dogs and just, it was bad meat put together. And
hot dogs are amazing.
No, see, I only eat kosher hot dogs. That is the one thing I am kosher with, is like hot dogs. And so I had this thought that like spam was just, it's bad food. They suck into a thing and, military, I get it, but no thanks. And then JPG finally got me to try it. And I was like, I've been missing out like my whole life. So good.
If they name bad things after it, it's not usually a good thing to try.
It's so good, though.
It's so good.
We're never going to get over it.
I do have an answer, thanks to Anthony. So the director of Survivors of the Holocaust documentary was Alan Holtzman, but Spielberg was an executive producer.
Okay.
So kind of like Band of Brothers then.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I knew he was connected to it.
So back to JPG's question.
Yeah, what would you make for an Indiana Jones film?
Besides just watch this one again? I mean,
see?
Okay, no, here's the thing. I will say, well, first off, I'll even explain why Temple I like so much in his answer. For me, the character of Indiana Jones could work in any sub-adventure movie genre thing. And one of the things I have a problem with Crusade and even to a certain degree, like at Crystal Skulls, is it's a slight redo of Raiders. And my idea is like, no, you just have to have Indy find a thing in another country, and that literally is all I need. Mm-hmm. And he's just Indiana Jones regardless of the situation. And that's kind of that for me. It's like, even like the scene, even though I have issues with Crystal Skulls, some of my favorite stuff with Crystal Skulls is when Indy's in a situation and he acts like Indiana Jones.
Oh, the ants is one of the best scenes in that film.
Here's the thing. I'm a big fan of the what was it, the atomic town scene?
Oh, oh no. Yeah.
When he gets into the fridge?
Let me explain. Up to that point, the
Justin,
stand
by it, because I will fight with you.
No, because I know you got me. But I'll lead to this. Hold on. That scene where the soldiers come in to try to look for him, and then they realize they're in a test site, and they bolt. He runs after them going, "You forgot me."
Don't get me.
I'm like, that's a super indie thing in that moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we going to do this? We can
do it. Let's
do it. All right, go.
Let's go back to back and take on these suckers, because the nuke the fridge moment was good and appropriate in an Indiana Jones
film. We defended the nuke the fridge scene.
What?
Yeah. It's no more ridiculous than things that have happened in every...
For people who don't know and haven't seen it, can you explain what that is?
So there's a moment in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull when he's in like a nuclear test site when the bomb is about to go off. And he knows the bomb's about to go off. He can't leave. So he's just looking around, and he sees a lead-lined refrigerator. So he gets in the lead-lined refrigerator. The nuke goes off. The refrigerator goes flying.
Yeah.
But the lead protects him from the radiation, and he emerges from the fridge alive and intact.
Unscathed.
Yeah, unscathed.
Yeah.
Rolls out and then just looks posterishly
in every,
at the storm, at the mushroom cloud.
There's something in every Indiana Jones movie that is as ridiculous as that, I would argue.
Yeah, because now I think about Temple, and it's the plane scene when they don't have
that raft.
The raft scene
is ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah. Raiders, but when he outruns outrunning the things by stepping on the diamonds.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the way he beats that trap, that puzzle, is he just goes fast.
Oh my god, you just blew my mind on this one right now. Like, oh god, like not one person thought to just run it.
There's
no way.
Also,
I was like, wait, what are you talking about? Yeah. Oh wait, no, he just goes...
Anthony, you got that one?
Does that one count?
Yes!
I said...
Don't say it again.
So, couldn't you just say poop like everybody else?
So
poop?
I do agree with you in the sense where it's the idea that like Indy needs to find something.
Yeah.
Uncharted, the video game series, does a really good job of this as well.
Right.
It's semi-smart to smart people finding some sort of artifact and then it turning out to be supernatural.
Yeah.
That's why I think Crystal Skulls failed so hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it went from archaeological to space.
Yeah.
Or like technology.
Interdimensional beings, exactly. To be precise.
Yeah. So if it would have been like a demon behind that, I would have been totally cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? But it's the idea that you go through history and ancient history, and then it's something completely unexplainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that aspect. So if I would do, I would try to do Crystal Skulls again. I love that they bring Marion back.
Right.
Oh, I love that she had the same fire.
Well, yeah. I don't know if I agree with that. So Indy leaves her again, does the exact same thing she was mad at him for in Raiders, and she's just like down to take him back and marry him at the end of the movie.
Well,
that made me
point,
so angry.
They're in their 60s at this point, right? Is that safe to assume?
Also, she can't do any better, so she should just settle for Indiana Jones.
No, it's not settle. Get him.
It's not settle.
Go.
Is that what you're saying to me?
There's always going to be a soft spot for her.
Oh yeah, so she would just give up her principles and know that this man has betrayed her multiple times.
Left her tied up. Nazi people.
Justin.
And then he abandoned her after that at the end of the movie, as we found out.
Again.
He introduced her to her husband. So it's not like he left her alone.
What's up, Jason?
And then she spent apparently that whole supposedly happy marriage just pining after this dude because he looks so hot in his hat. Is that what I'm supposed to believe?
It's like once an episode somebody goes in hard on Cole.
It's fun. But you're going to tell me if Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, is looking at you, you're not going to say yes?
Justin and
correct.
I are just...
I would say yes all the time.
Because at the end of the day, he's always going to care more about those artifacts than he's ever going to care about me.
Exactly. And Marion's whole thing is that she recognizes that and calls out Indy.
And saw it in her father and didn't like it then either. So why would she do the same thing?
It doesn't matter. I would still say yes. I would always go back to Indiana Jones.
I just
Jones.
Wish there was food in front of us. Like, this could be an awkward dinner time.
Because Justin and I are like, wait, do we keep eating?
I just want to go back to my room playing Nintendo. That's all I want to do.
You know what's swear, though, he looks really, really old in that first movie when he's in the, like, Indiana Jones gear.
Okay.
But at the very end, when he's all dressed up and he's all mad at the government and he's walking by, he looks so much younger. He looks 20 years younger in that one scene than he does in the entire movie.
When he's, like, all clean and, like,
yeah, I don't know if that's just because he was sick or they added makeup to, like...
Oh, no, actually, I know, because and you have the grizzled look Indiana Jones. Then when he's teaching, he's in a gray suit with old, like, not like old men spectacles, but the spectacles that now old men wear. But
old men spectacles.
Yeah, but well, not for back then. But at the end of the film, he's in a black suit with a black hat. He looks trendy. He looks like a young man. That's what it is.
Yeah, and that's something that I kind of appreciated about Indiana Jones. It was something that I really admire just in my personal life is when people can fit into any situation.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana could fit into any situation, you know, like he had contacts there. He knew some of the language sometimes, like he knew customs and cultures and history. Like it was just, it is in a sense very sexy. But also, also looking back on it, it's also super problematic because he's like very macho.
Yeah.
See, for me,
and this just reminded me. So have you guys ever seen Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow?
Yes.
No. Okay. I've only seen parts of it.
Been meaning to see that movie since high school, and I haven't got to it.
Here's the thing: like, it kind of happens in like sort of the same time frame, mm-hmm. and it's done in this very interesting like shot style, but. You're supposed to like be like enamored, like you are with Indiana Jones, with the Sky Captain. He's it's like Jude Law, and he's like super cool and all that. And then like he proceeds to like punch out three women.
What? Yeah,
yeah. See, yeah. And it's to at the end of it, it's to knock them out so like they don't get into trouble or they don't get like captured and all this stuff.
Because the man knows what's best.
Yes, and it's so weird, but it's sort of like Indiana kind of has that like proto. Problematic sort of feeling,
because like, yeah, which is why Marion shouldn't have married him.
No,
Justin, let's go back.
I'm a huge sucker for a love story. The fact that
so here's
the
okay. Everyone cool. Everyone's fine.
Fine.
Because that's the thing. Like, yeah, those were emulating the 1930s, 40s mm-hmm. movies, and so a male character would do that, and that's the now, and that's you laugh, but that's.
It was kind of the acceptable.
It was a different time.
Yeah,
but here's the thing: it was, and I'm not justifying it.
No, yeah, you should never use that.
Worse time. Yeah.
It was a different worst time.
You should never use that term to justify anything awful. You know, like oh, it's a different time. Jelly beans tasted different. You know, like that's how you should use the sentence.
It was a different time. It had sugar frosted flakes on the box.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
Thank you.
We had Cookie Crisp, like real cookies for cereal.
It was a dog and a burglar. Anyway, so no, but that's the thing with that was, when you were talking about that bit with Sky and Captain and the character, it's like I feel like that was where the writing was trying to emulate that, and I go, yeah, but maybe that's not something you should repeat.
Maybe we shouldn't punch out a lady.
Yeah, maybe keep that trope to the past, you know?
Okay, I'm going to take us kind of with those flaws, a flaw you actually found in the movie. Because I know for me, just watching it the first time, I was like, they're really smart. Why didn't they do this?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to see if anybody else had those moments.
I have a big one. Okay, so Marion's bar in Nepal, right? So the Nazi guy in the black coat comes, and he hired a bunch of Nepalese people in order to like attack this lady.
Yeah,
and,
the dude with the weird blue eyes.
Yeah, right.
Like the weird blue eyes.
So then, Indiana comes back, and like they start a shootout. Right? Indiana always has two firearms on him. He has the six shooter on his hip, and he also has another smaller gun in his boot, and it actually uses a magazine for it, right? The thing is he uses a six shooter in this scene, I'm pretty sure, and he shoots like 13 shots.
Yeah, easily.
As somebody I don't own a firearm myself, but I do appreciate them, and I do go shooting sometimes as well. I very much have a respect for them, but also, like, I have so much of a respect for them, it just takes me out of the movie. I'm like, you just shot a dude 27 times with the six shooter, and it makes me so mad every time.
That's why John Wick is so amazing, because he reloads.
Oh, God, the way he reloads is it's almost erotic.
Oh, have you guys not seen John Wick?
No, both
I was
them.
Laughing in uncomfortable agreement as I thought about how erotic Keanu Reeves was in this moment.
You're like,
I'm on ball.
This happened.
Do I admit it? Do I not admit it?
They must never know.
Any other like problems for you guys though in this?
With Raiders?
Yes, with Raiders. Specifically with Raiders.
In terms of like logic problems, I don't know, just the way I watch movies, even if I hate the movie, I just can't help but go along with it. Like, I, for some reason, that stuff never bothers
Your
me.
Your suspension of disbelief is great.
It's very powerful.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Justin?
Yeah, the same. And there's something really that like takes me so much out of the movie. And I mean, it's funny thing, even if let's like I'll probably even, let's just for fun, I'll listen to our episode again, and I probably said something on the episode. Mm-hmm. But
oh, you know what? Actually, I did think of one. Just
oh, cool.
Oh, look at that.
It would be so difficult to write "I love you" on your eyelids like that.
That sounds
so full, so yeah. Neatly as she did.
Like, that had to be one of her girlfriends, and their girlfriend's yeah. Like, why the hell am I doing this right now?
Why did her girlfriend say, like, I'm not going to do this for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, like, you're going to class. Why do you have to get ready?
He's a professor. I'm not going to let you do this.
Like, I do love the angry apple kid at the end of that scene.
Yeah.
You take all the women.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That was a good point. I never thought of that.
Mine is when after Marion gets tossed into the snake pit and he kind of tears her dress off because it's getting in the way. Why not light that on fire?
Yeah.
They're so concerned about the fire lasting.
Yeah.
I did not think of that.
That was like my first. They ripped it off. I'm like, yes, I'm genius.
More fuel.
Toss it aside. Yeah. What?
I'm so concerned with the snakes at this point that I didn't even think about that.
I mean, he was smart enough in the beginning. He like soaks them and he lights the snakes on fire then. I just...
Panic was starting to set in.
I don't know. Right.
Fear of snakes. He started just, you know, not thinking cleverly anymore. Yeah. Just his fear.
Too many snakes.
Too many snakes. Yeah.
Failed the saving roll.
Smart enough to knock the giant thing down and see the hole in the wall, but the giant thing you can light on fire.
I'm just
useless.
I just think
of that sometimes, like in real life, you roll poorly, essentially.
Yeah, right.
That's something you should be able to think
you
of.
Failed your saving roll. You failed your saving roll. I'm just looking at Cole's face right now, and like we are just completely decimating this movie for him.
Right? Oh no, it's just little things. I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. No, never thought of that. Won't ever see this movie the same ever again.
Okay, well, cool. You saw how I watched Star Wars. It was like every animal that killed, I was upset about and had solid reasoning on why they shouldn't have died. Well, probably not solid, but I'm standing by it. So it's kind of that same thing where I think because I'm watching it as an adult, it's not, you know, that childhood like, I'm just going to... So I missed out on that. So instead I'm like tearing it apart, but it is a great film, especially for its time. I like finding those little story flaws.
I understand completely what you're talking about. I mean, you guys are killing me right now, but I can't think, because I'm trying to think, like, what was something that bothered me about Raider, like, or any of the Indiana Jones that wasn't named Willy, and it's just, it's so difficult for me.
You know, I can, if we're going beyond Raiders, I will say there's something that does bother me.
Yeah, go for
hear it.
And it's, I brought this up definitely in our Last Crusade episode. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, it's only like the best in my opinion, but.
is that the character of Marcus Brody?
Oh, yeah.
And
wait, who is that for?
So he's his friend at the school.
Okay.
And he's in Raiders as well.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who walks in the classroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So when we see him in that movie, we've seen him in the movie, he's introduced as basically an equal.
Yes.
There's a line that I always go back to in terms of the character of Marcus Brody as I saw him when I first saw the movie is, if I was only 5 years younger, I would have gone with you.
Oh, in Raiders.
Yeah, in Raiders.
Yeah.
And that to me showed that, he's just as incredible and as cool of an adventurer as Indiana. He's just getting up there, so he can't do it as much as he used to. That's really cool. Then we get to Crusade. Last Crusade, and you're okay. Someone's shaking their head.
You just light bulbed me. Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's the dim-witted old man who gets lost in his own museum.
Oh, I completely disagree with that. I know.
That is literally a line.
No.
Indy said he gets lost in his own museum.
No. It's not one of those.
Emily, do we still eat? Do we just keep eating?
Hold on. He does get lost in his own museum. And yes, he does say, if I was 5 years younger, I would have gone you.
Right.
Not once does he say I was going to be competent.
Well, no. But
it's implied. I will definitely say it's implied.
He talks highly of himself in Last Last Crusade as well.
But no, in Raiders, Indy basically goes, "You're right," when he says, "If I was 5 years old."
Don't you have that one friend you're like, yeah.
But it's not
played like that.
It's not played like that in Raiders. In Raiders, it's totally played that Indy's like, yeah, you're right. You know,
JPG's just sitting back watching the show.
Because we usually don't get two people who crush Cole's dreams.
This isn't crushing my dream. If I start crying about Brody, then we've hit a wall. we've got to a weird place.
Okay. Fair enough. But no, I think that's a case where it's like they had the character. I think in Raiders, Marcus Brody was absolutely written to be that character.
Okay.
But then when it got to Crusade, after the excruciatingly dark stuff that happened in Temple, they sort of lightened things up. And like, okay, maybe we just make everyone a little more sillier. So Brody got sillier. Sala got sillier. The situation got a little bit more sillier, depending on what happened.
X marks the spot.
Exactly, yeah.
The stamp.
Yeah.
I still love that stamp scene.
Oh, that's a fun scene. Oh, with the...
Yeah, and the guy's like just the bookkeeper is just putting it down, like waiting to see what's gonna happen.
Yeah. But no, that's where that was to me like Brody was introduced as this in my head. And then you watch Crusaders, and you're like, wait, what happened to this guy?
Mm-hmm. Can I be honest?
Sure.
When they introduced Brody, mm-hmm. and then he was kind of talking about, you know, I can't go with you, 5 years younger, blah blah blah. My immediate thought was he's actually connected with the bad guy who keeps like showing up when Indy finds things and then taking him. I thought he was hiring, like working with him, and hey, Indy's going here.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And that was my initial connection.
This was the best part of watching this film with her for the first time. That she's like, Marcus is the bad guy, right? And I'm like, no, this is a much simpler time with like simpler storytelling. They're not going to...
If it was made today, he would have been.
He probably would have been.
Yeah.
But there's... I could see why you would think that. That's not wrong to go take your brain in that direction.
That's why I thought he wasn't going with. Mm-hmm. Not even though he was using age as an excuse. Yeah. I thought it was like, aha, my guy's gonna show up there anyway, and like
he's gonna stand there next to Balak at the end. And
Exactly. That's how I pictured it.
Marcus Brody. Oh God.
Yeah. Wouldn't that have been like? I understand the Nazis, but man, I just in my head he was helping him along the way, and that's why he kept beating him to the punch.
I wanted to punch Belloc in the mouth like so much
because
the sense that I got from him, he's like, I'm not gonna go, like, I didn't go to school for archaeology, I'm not some renowned professor, I'm a treasure hunter, and you look like you're competent, I'm just gonna constantly follow you and then pull a gun on you.
Which is really genius, though. I'm gonna let you do the work.
Yeah, it's genius. Yeah. But also, like, it's so devious. Like, I wanted to hit him in real life.
It's my kind of bad guy. Like, the lazy kind that's just like, screw it. I'm gonna stand here.
Laziest.
If you survive, it's mine anyway.
But he was also smart because he knew and understood Indiana. So when, like, he's being threatened by a nuke. Or not a nuke, by a rocket. A rocket launcher.
He's
like, I'm going to kill us all if you don't give me the girl.
I'll give you that. He did have his psychology down.
Yeah. And that's what I also like about the character of Indy as well, is that, like, yeah, he's the good guy, air quotes, you know? Yeah. Like, he's the hero, but also his own curiosity and will just be his comeuppance, because that's what's more important to him.
The character flaw stays consistent.
Which is why she never should have married him.
Exactly. Boom! Thank you.
No, for me, in all seriousness, the character flaw staying the same was great. The fears never wavering. Mm-hmm. If there was a snake, it was never I'm good with that snake. No, he was scared of all snakes.
Yeah, just all of them.
Let's see, what else? The punching noises, that was great. In Crystal Skull, going to that one, I would change that is, you know how the scene with the monkeys and his son is swinging through the trees? What I would have done is every member of the Jones family is afraid of a random animal. The father's afraid of rats.
That's right.
Indiana is afraid of snakes.
Yeah.
What we could have had is a rundown scene with Dwayne Johnson where the monkeys just get very evil. Yeah. And I can never remember his real name.
Shia LaBeouf.
Thank you. Oh, the song's now in my head. Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf song,
Just do it.
If Shia LaBeouf was in the trees and these monkeys started going crazy on him and he was like fleeing for his life, I think he would have been. It would have been a funny enough scene where you could believe that he's now terrified of monkeys.
It's like the scene with River Phoenix in Last Crusade.
Exactly. Yeah. With the snake. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
God.
And that, I think that would have saved his moment, his scene.
Not the movie, maybe, but that scene. Yeah.
I think that would have actually definitely added a little bit, especially if he lands and he's shaken and petrified. And, yeah. And Marion's like, "What's wrong?" He's like, "And then, you know," and then the monkey.
and they're just like, "But they're monkeys."
You just reminded me of you hard triggered me into thinking about the worst scene in that film.
Mm-hmm.
It's where Shia LaBeouf and the bad guy are fencing on two moving cars.
Yeah. He's getting hit in the balls by shrubbery.
Yeah, but fencing on two moving cars, moving as fast as you possibly can in the jungle.
Yeah.
With the mom doing the stereotypical mom, pivots, strut.
I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't handle that one. That's when, just fight scenes always take me out of movies, mm-hmm. and that one.
Well,
that's
when it was getting a little too ridiculous. Yeah.
So I'm going to take us through our final lap, which is where we kind of answer questions based on kind of our representation on the show. For me, that would be as an introduction to the fandom. How does this movie hold up? And I think even now it is just, it was incredible to watch. And as long as in your head you can realize okay, this film obviously wasn't made now with the graphics that we have now, but it was still so, so good. So I'm going with a 10 out of 10 on being able to walk into this fandom and make you want to watch the next ones. It makes me want to go back and ride. I mean, I sat there, this is this part of the attraction. This is the entrance here. This makes sense there. And I connected all those dots and I thought it was great. So I had a blast. I loved it. JPG, what about you? And how does it compare to the rest of the medium?
So for me, this is a quintessential, this is how you make an 80s action film. This is an 80s family-friendly action film at the time. Because I just thought of Bloodsport, and it's one of my favorite films. Sorry. Okay, but
that is not children-related.
That is not children-related at all. But how it compares in the medium is this kind of sets up the medium. And again, it puts the medium on a pedestal as well. It captured the fun and romanticism of a time frame that didn't really have a lot of fun in romanticism. I don't know. To me, it was just this. Raiders of the Lost Ark is the template to how to make a four. It was the proto of how to make a four quadrant movie. How to just get men into it, women into it, older people into it, kids into it. This was it.
Totally agree.
And you can see what style beats, movies like Pirates of the Caribbean grab from this as well. How can I appeal to absolutely everybody? So Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, this is almost perfect as a template.
Well, for me, mine is what were the most fun aspects of the product and is it worth getting into? Oh my God, guys. If this movie has been a part of my life since I was old enough to know what a movie was, and I can honestly say that it is a great action movie to help you escape the everyday world that we live in. It is definitely worth getting into. Just a fun action film. I can't think of how else to describe reasons to get into it outside of it's just Alex has never seen this movie until 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And she loved it. And
that is a testament to a movie just in general.
I just
at this point,
I can't explain how happy I am that you loved it.
Relief.
Well, it's just there's so many things that I grew up loving, and there's only a few things that I hold so dear, and Indiana Jones is definitely one of them. And it's just, it's great having friends that like it too.
Aw, he called us friends. After all of this, I'm so surprised.
To be honest, I don't know if we can bring Emily back, but
Emily is my favorite. Emily's gonna sit next to me on every show.
Yeah. Right now she's sitting next to me and it's a little uncomfortable. Okay?
At this point, Ready Set Geek is just Alex, Emily, and JPG.
What the heck?
I defeated you in combat.
She rolled a 12. That rolled
is,
a 2.
That is the best part of the show. We can't beat this, so let's just send it to JPG for special thanks.
All right. So first off, special thanks to Jordan Denae, the eco-friendly geek apparel and lifestyle company out in Brooklyn, New York. Make sure to visit jordandenae.com. That is JORDANDENE for your supply of subtly geeky clothing and accessories. Another special thanks to Marley Rosner, the composer to all of our original music here at the Geek Say What Network. And as always, we're recording in what we lovingly refer to as Echo Base, but in reality, the space is Wayland Productions, an award-winning production company for short films, documentaries, and audio dramas. Please make sure to check out that work at wayland.ws, plus Casey Wayland's new book that just released, and support the audio and visual arts.
All right, this is the Ready, Set, Geek podcast, your starting line to geek culture. Please make sure to check out other episodes of Ready, Set, Geek on iTunes, and make sure to rate, comment, and subscribe. This is one part of the Geek Say What network of podcasts, so please make sure to check out our sister's podcasts. We have Geek KO, and then we have the Geek Offensive. I guess we can say it. Geek KO, run by Justin and Ish, and Geek Offensive, run by producer Justin and comic shop Ken. If you don't know who runs these shows, you should definitely check it out. All right, they are on their own RSS feed, so make sure to subscribe to each one. Follow us on social media at the handle at Geek Say What on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget to check out our articles and videos at our website, geeksaywhat.com.
And of course, we do have our own Instagram, so make sure to check it out using the handle Ready Set Geek Podcast. And instead of waving a checkered flag, Anthony is actually waving his Indiana Jones hat, which I love. Thank you, Anthony. Best sound engineer out there. Nobody can have him. That does bring us to the end of Ready Set Geek. I'm going to thank my guests. You guys have been amazing. Please tell everybody where they can find you, your podcast, social media, the whole shebang.
Who wants to go first?
You go first.
All right.
Ladies first. Hello.
You can follow me on You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at VeryCoolEmily. You can listen to the show I do with Justin, which is called Ben View on Spielberg. That one's about Steven Spielberg movies. We talked about it earlier. Or you can listen to the Super Mario Bros. Minute, which is a podcast I do about the Super Mario Brothers movie. I do it minute by minute. It's me and Andrew Lindy. Every episode is about 1 minute of the movie, and we watch each minute the number of times that it is. We just watched minute 45 times, and we're going to keep going up in that order for the rest of the film. If you want to hear us,
What sort of masochistic?
Here's what I'll say about that.
Okay.
Andrew, my co-host, and I, we both genuinely love that movie. And we're at minute 45 now, and I can't speak for him, but I haven't gotten sick of the minutes yet.
Oh, my God.
I think the hardest is the beginning, though, because you're like, okay, I only get to watch 1 minute one time, and I have to remember everything.
We did cheat a little, because the minutes 1 and 2, we watched 3 times each. And I was actually like, oh, we only need to watch them twice. But then when we got to minute 3 and watched it 3 times, I was like, wait a minute, I've got an idea.
It dominoed from there.
Yeah. But you can check that out. It's the Super Mario Brothers Minute. You can listen to us go gradually insane as we just infuse so much of the Super Mario Brothers movie into our brains. I think that's it.
Justin, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Justin Keys, on Instagram at Justin Quiz. Normally I talk about Ben View and Spielberg, but it's really weird
when we're both here.
If I'm on someone else's podcast, I'll just pitch our show. I'm like, well, you already did it, so I'll move on to the other podcast I do on the network, which is called Nothing New. It's a remake podcast in which we watch the current new movie watch the original film that it was a remake of. So we just recently did Flatliners.
Oh, wow.
And we've also done episodes on It, The Mummy, and next episode we'll be recording is Murder on the Orient Express.
I'm so excited.
Which mummy did you do?
We did the most recent one. So, we did the Tom Cruise one.
So the Tom Cruise, comparing it to Brendan Fraser?
Boris Karloff, the original film.
Okay.
So we go old as much as we, as far back as we could. I also co-write a webcomic.
Oh,
as well.
Yes. It's Shining. Oh, my gosh.
Yusha.
Yes. Thank you.
So it's like a, best I can say it, it's kind of like a Power Rangers E type comic. So it's a free pay. It's a free comic you can find on Tumblr.
I was just going to ask where people could find it.
we basically drop a page a week. So that's how we do that comic book.
And then, one more time, the name, please.
Shining Yusha. And I do that book with my co-writer and artist, Victor Kamba. So there we
go. Awesome. Thanks so much again, guys. This was a blast. It started out really loopy, but it really was a lot of fun. And to sign off, I am Alex.
I'm a color commentator.
And I'm JPG.
As always, keep it geeky.